That fit right into the part of the message this morning about that lonely bush in the desert that knows what dryness is, but if we'll have the roots spread out in the Lord Jesus, we'll never know what it is to be dry. We'll always have enough and more than enough. Praise His name. Lord, we love You tonight. We bless Your holy name. We come to You, Lord Jesus, just desiring to sit at Your feet. Draw close to the table that You prepared for us. Lord, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the saints of God, for Your presence. Church, I want us to take a few moments tonight, and I just want you to say thank You as many ways as you can say thank You to Jesus. Thank Him for Your health. Thank Him for Your family. Thank Him for Your grandchildren. Thank Him for Your jobs and the jobs you retired from. Thank Him for the church, a place to worship Him, but even the church body, which is you and I, to carry the light of the Word of God, to hide His Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him, to be a light unto the world, to let them know that salvation is still here. Thank You, Father, for our Sunday school program and classes. Thank You for the bus and the transportation that we have in our church. Thank You for the laborers, the workers, the faithful. Thank You for the prayers. Thank You, Lord, for the offering, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You, Father. We come to You tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, we give You praise. We give You praise. We give You praise. We give You praise. Sit and wait in His presence a moment. Real worship starts when the music stops. Real praise to the Lord Jesus is when no one's directing the praise. Love Him. His goodness and His mercy is here tonight. I sense His presence. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you sense His presence? God's so good. God's so good. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like it when the Lord puts a rainstorm outside. You know what happens when you're so busy doing all the things? Sometimes you just get rained out and you got to take a break, go in and sit down. I think sometimes the Lord just pours His rain on the church and says, you know what, you've been busy doing things in the church, you've been busy doing other things for Me, nothing wrong with serving the Lord in those ways, but sometimes He just calls a rain day and says, I want to rain on my church, I want to bless you. I want to strengthen you. He told us this morning where we can get our strength from. It's not in ourselves, but it's in Him. I feel like the Lord's just pouring a strength on us tonight. And He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. And there's things about the rainstorms that just kind of bring a soothing, you know. Things change. It's been unusual for us to have rainstorms this year, this season. And it draws extra attention when it does happen. And I just feel like God's taking some time to rain on the inside of the church a little bit tonight and just say, you know, take a time out with me. And don't be in such a hurry. Don't be in such a fuss about how things ought to go in the service and do these things and wait. Hallelujah. Good things happen when you wait on the Lord. Good things happen when you wait on His presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to go into the book of Hebrews chapter 2 together. I feel like tonight the Lord's just drawing us close by Him and saying, I'm going to just feed it to you tonight. I'm just going to give you something to chew on. I'm going to give you some things that can help your heart, ease your mind. And I gave a title to the message tonight, Can You Still Hear the Greatest Message Ever Told? Can you still hear the greatest message ever told? I mean, there's times when you hear something repeated over and over and over again, and you go through the motion of listening, but you kind of tune out. You're not really focused and thinking about what's being heard and what's being read. Tonight, I want to share with you a message that's very simple, but it is about the greatest message ever told, and that message is His salvation, His great and mighty salvation. I actually have two passages that I'm going to use tonight as text passages. The first one being in Hebrews chapter 2, and I want to read the first 10 verses in Hebrews, and then we're going to go over to Matthew chapter 13 and go through verses 13 and 15 together. So I'm asking you to have double duty in your Bible tonight. The first place, again, Hebrews chapter 2. When you find Hebrews chapter 2, let's go ahead and stand for this portion of the reading, verses 1 through 10, thinking tonight, can you still hear the greatest message ever told? Beginning at verse number 1, it says, Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with the divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. For unto the angels He hath not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with the glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all who are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Praise the Lord. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 13. Again, the title tonight is, Can You Still Hear the Greatest Message Ever Told? Matthew chapter 13, dropping down at verse number 13 and reading just a few verses through 15. Matthew 13, verse 13 says, Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and ye shall not perceive. But verse number 15 says, For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I shall heal them. I want us to pray tonight. Lord, many need healing tonight. Many need delivered tonight. Many need to be reminded of the greatest message and story that's ever been told, the message of your great salvation. And Father, it begins when we decide with our heart that we're going to hear the message. We're going to hear the Word of God. We're going to let the voice of the Almighty Lord begin to speak to us and be in us and help us to understand what is taking place in our lives. Father, we give you praise tonight. We thank you for this service. We thank you, Lord, that we're not going to be like the ones that have dull ears. We're not going to be like the ones who have dim eyes, but we're going to see. We're going to hear. We're going to receive the full message of what you have in store for us this night. And we give you our praise and we give you glory. We haven't yet given him a hand clap of praise tonight. It's a good opportunity right now. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And you may be seated tonight. I don't really believe that the church has a receiving problem. I don't believe that we have a situation where God is not giving to us anymore. But according to the Word of God, there's a place in our lives that we need to take heed and hear the warning and receive from God and understand that we must not get tired of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we begin to tune out the Word of God, when we begin to turn down the volume of the message of salvation in our heart, we are moving ourselves into a place where dullness begins to set in, and what we're going to end up doing is we're going to fade away from the things of God. Now, I know that you've been in places sometime in your life where maybe there was a musical concert that you went to and the instruments were many and the amplifiers and the speakers were loud and you heard them loud and clear. No doubt you were hearing every beat that they were giving, but then if you go out to your car and someone says, Do you remember the second song they sang? Do you remember the phrase and the words that they said? And many of us would have to say, You know what? I heard it all, but I can't remember what they said. But there's something about Jesus that needs to be different. We can't give excuse in our life and say, You know what? I heard the word of Jesus being preached when I was little. I heard the word of God being taught to me when I sat at mom and dad's house and they had a Bible study. I heard the word of God when somebody invited me to revival. But you know what? I really have not tuned in to know the message of salvation for my own heart, because I don't know what to do when the life around me is caving in. This is where you know if you've been hearing the word of God or not, is when the pressure's on. When the pressure's on, you're going to have to remember the Word of God, because it's the Word that lets us go free. It's the Word that sustains us. We sing the songs about He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my mighty tower. He is my refuge. We sing these things, but we're mouthing the words many times, and we need to take it in and listen to what the message of the song is that says Amazing Grace. It's not just a song. It's not just something the church came up with. But when we literally listen in on the things that God says to us and take heed, I began to look at that word, and I was looking at it and paying attention to it, and I looked into the Bible concordance, and I was looking into this word heed. It means to be cautious. It means to give attention. It means to pay attention. It means to get alert and sober in your mind. It means that if you miss this, you're going to fall into a mess. You're going to fall into a problem. You're going to fall into something that you can't get loose from, because there's a message to heed, and it's the greatest message that's ever been told. There's never going to be a greater message than Jesus. There's never going to be a greater word than the word of Hosanna. There's never going to be a greater miracle take place than when Mary gave birth as a virgin to the Son of the living God. There's never going to be a greater King than the King of Kings. There's never going to be a greater Lord than Jesus Himself. You're not going to find a new published book that's going to be greater than this. God's Word is firm. It's sound. It's solid. It's something reliable, dependable, and it's something that we need to hear again. We need to hear the Word again. We need to hear Jesus' name over and over. Don't get tired of saying His name. Don't get tired of hearing His Word. Don't get tired of singing the songs of Jesus. You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid one day the church might go on so much into new music that they'll forget the words and how to play Amazing Grace. I'm afraid that in the new generation of people rising up and saying we need all the brand new, and I'm not knocking brand new music. God said, behold, I'll do a new thing. God said, I'll put a new song in your heart. And God can use the instruments of people that play music today and write some very beautiful songs of praise and worship. And I'm not knocking that when it comes out of the spirit of hearing God. But when it comes out of somebody saying, you know what, we just need to crank out another number one hit so everybody in the church will say, wow, and what a great song that is. But if we'll never hear the message of Jesus in the song, we ought not sing it in the house of God. You know, there's nothing wrong with having entertainment when you're at a place for entertainment, but in God's house is not the place for entertainment. In the house of God, it's where we ought to give Him praise, honor, and glory. It's whether we sing a cappella or with a piano or an organ or a tambourine or any other instrument. It doesn't matter. But when we give word and heed to the things of God and we say, you know what? I don't want my grandkids to not know the song Deep and Wide. I don't want my grandkids to not know the song Jesus Loves Me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I don't want them to grow up not knowing these things that we learn in our Sunday school class. These words that God has given into us that we can grow and maintain and live by. The word is take heed. Sometimes we can get thinking that all this new stuff needs to replace every bit of the old, and I'm sorry. I still read the Old Testament and believe the New Testament. I still like the old rugged cross, and when I first saw the light, and thank God for the lighthouse. But I can also confess to you that there's many songs that I hear on the radio, the Christian stations, that I'm being drawn to because they're really getting into some deep thinking about God and His grace and His mercy. Can you still hear the greatest message? Have you got so used to coming to church that you kind of tune it out anyway? I mean, when are the children going to decide to turn on the ears? And when are the adults and the pastors and the teachers be willing to turn up the ears again and say, you know what? I don't need to say I've heard it all. I've seen it all. I've done it all. I just need to know that God is all in all, and I need Him every day of my life, and He can do it again and again and again, and He may do it the same way and He may do it a different way, but I need to hear Jesus every time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a place in Exodus chapter 19. It gives a beautiful picture. It gives a beautiful display of sin and salvation. We've got to make sure that we preach the message of salvation to every generation. We've got to make sure that they know the difference between a sin and salvation, and what sin looks like and what salvation looks like. And so in Exodus 19, I believe it's down along verse number 4, it says, the Lord began to say this to the children of Israel. He says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on the eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So you see a picture here. You see the Lord reminding the children of Israel. You see the Lord reminding them of what He did to the Egyptians. Now I want to say something. God is not against every Egyptian, but He's referring to the place in Egypt where Pharaoh was ruling and he would not let God's people go. And God said, I want you to remember what I did to them. They were destroyed. They were done away with because they were an enemy to God by taking it out on God's children. I want to tell you, God is going to destroy every enemy that opposes His children. I don't care if it happens today or tomorrow. You can know for sure that the same God that destroyed the Egyptians is going to wipe out every enemy that brings an attack against the house of God, that brings an attack against the Word of God, that tries to get this younger generation to listen to something other than His Word. The Lord is going to fight. But here's the picture. He said, I want you to remember the Egyptians. See that their destruction, they represented sin. Sin is a rebellious state against God's word. Sin is a rebellion in the heart that says, I am going to do my way, my thing, my own self. That'll get you in trouble every time. That'll get you in trouble every time. And the Egyptian picture was, it ended up being death for them. But here comes salvation. What does salvation look like? The Lord said, I brought you out of there, bore you up on the wings of an eagle. And He did not just drop them off when He got them back to the nest. He said, I bore you up as on eagle wings, and I brought you to myself. You know what He did? He said, I'm not leaving you abandoned on this earth. I'm not leaving you. You got to hear the message of Jesus again. The greatest message ever told is He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to drop you off at the corner of the 7-Eleven place. He's not going to abandon you in a city or a town. He's not going to leave you just because you went through something bad in your home. But He said, I bore you on the wings of eagles, and I brought you to myself. Wherever the presence of God is where His children ought to be. Because God has brought Himself and brought us together that we might rejoice with Him. That's a beautiful picture of salvation. But some would say, that's not working for me. Then you've not heard the message of Jesus. You've not really listened in and heeded what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2. He says, take heed and pay attention to something. He was going around in the scriptures and saying, hey, when the law was given to Moses and when all these things were given to the children of Israel and they lived under the law, and the law pointed out to them what their disobedience was, and if they even fractioned that law, they were put to death and their lives were taken. The Bible says we ought to do something. We ought to be the Christians that take heed to the salvation message again and say how great a salvation message it is for us today, because the Son of the living God has been to the cross. The Son of the living God has paid the price. The Son of the living God has been in the tomb and risen from the dead. And Jesus is alive and remains alive forevermore. And you and I have to take heed to this message and begin to remember how to listen. The scripture goes on and says, when are we going to take heed to this? Because if their punishment under the law was great, how much greater is the punishment for not heeding the voice of God today going to be upon those that refuse Him, reject Him, deny Him, and curse Him? Take heed to the greatest message ever told about Jesus. Exodus chapter 7. Is the place where God began to talk to Moses and give him instruction. In chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 goes on through the process of going before Pharaoh. Do you know what they said, what God said to Moses? When you stand before Pharaoh, you're to say something to him. You're to say to him, "Let my people go." That was the message that God had given to Moses and Aaron to go to Pharaoh. And God was saying, I'm going to give a message that if he'll take heed to this message, if he'll hear the greatest message ever told about how the power of God is greater than all of our enemies, how the strength of the Lord is mightier than any foe that you and I have, if we'll understand tonight that when God speaks, we need to listen. The Lord already knew what Pharaoh was going to do. The Bible says that, and his heart was going to be hardened. We got to protect our own hearts from becoming a hardened heart to say, you know what, I have read my Bible through more than once. I have memorized this many scripture verses. I have made it to this many services. I have preached the Word of God. I have taught the Word of God. I have sung about the love of Jesus. I have went out door to door witnessing. I have helped bake the candy in the church. I have mowed the yards. I have done this and I have done that. We got to hear the message again of salvation of Jesus Christ and say, you know what, it's still the greatest thing for me to hear. It's still the greatest thing for me to listen to. It's still the thing that I need to take heed to, because when I do, things will change in my life. There's some things children should never forget that their parents teach them. There's some things that students in Sunday school should never forget that their teachers have taught them. I am so thankful for the Sunday school and the teacher that would tell me every time I went to Sunday school class, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I did not know what my life was going to become. I did not know the danger and the problems and the disappointments that were going to play out in my life. But because there was a Sunday school teacher that made it very clear to me, and I had to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it again, I heard the words, Jesus loves you. When I was in my place of running from God, it wasn't a great sermon that came back up in my spirit that I'd heard. It wasn't a prayer that my mom and dad might have prayed with me. It wasn't a scripture verse that I had dug out and found on my own. But in the midst of trying to run from God, the consistency of one teacher that kept telling me, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Those were the words that pulled me back from the place of sin. And I heard it. I had been listening to it in Sunday school. I'd had many pastors in my childhood. I'd went to many revivals. I myself was in many places of the altar praying. I was a seeker. I loved the Lord at an early age. I desired Him. I wanted Him. But later on in my life, it took hearing the greatest message ever told to listen, really heed those words. I had to pay attention to those words. Those were the words that were keeping me from going on and being lost forever. When those words came back up in my spirit, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I don't know if the Sunday school teacher, I believe she's probably been gone into heaven for many years now. And I don't know if it impacted any other students like it did me, but I can promise you, hearing that message, heeding it, made the difference in my life. The church has got to listen to the Lord again. Heed Him. His message is great. I was thinking about the message when He was going through speaking to Pharaoh. You can read it for yourself in those chapters, Exodus 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You can read it all. The Lord would speak to Moses and tell him, I want you to go. I'm sending you. The Lord heard the cries of the children of Israel, and God said, I'm sending you. Aaron's going to go with you. Some things are going to happen, but you're going to have to stand before Pharaoh. And when you stand before him, I want you to say, the Lord says, the Lord says, the Lord says, let my people go. The Lord says, let my people go. You know, the first thing that happened, we're talking about the greatest message ever told about salvation. That's the greatest message, salvation. How does salvation work? Is God this great, mean, horrible God who wants to punish and judge and condemn and throw us all away and say, you know, you had a chance and you blew it? I want to tell you tonight, when you think about Pharaoh, there wasn't just one plague, but there were many plagues that came. All of them were warnings. All of them were messages from God. And all they had to do was begin to heed the message of God, and things would turn around in their life. They did not have to go in and be drowned in the water. They did not have to get an anger and a hate in their spirit, because God was trying to speak to them. God was trying to turn their hearts. God was trying to say, greater is He than all of us. Greater is He that's in us and He that's in the world. There's a message about the Lord that is power and might, and His way is His way and His word is His word, and we need to heed it and listen and pay attention in this hour. The very first thing, the plague, the first one, God said, strike the water. If God's a mean God, He could have started out with killing. He could have went straight for the plague of killing the firstborn. But He started out with one warning. He said, I want you to strike the water and turn it to blood. And when the water turned to blood, the Bible says it was the fish that died, and the water began to stink. It's a picture of sin. You got to understand that the moment that you turn away from the Word of God and you begin to live in the world, it's like dead fish. The water's going to stink, and you're going to stink, and it's going to be ugly. Sin is never pretty. Sin is never attractive. Sin is never going to make you feel your best. It's going to drag you into a smelly pit. And so God says, let me strike the water and turn this thing to blood. Fish died. The water stank. And I'm telling you that the sin in the world today is filth and stink in the nostrils of God. And it's creeping in the house of God, because the ear is more attentive to listening to something else than the gospel and the greatest message ever told. Hebrews chapter 2 is for every one of us to pay attention to. If they, under the old law, were held accountable and responsible for their sins, and it caused them to lose their life, how great of a much more punishment will come upon us when we trample and abuse the grace and the blood that was shed on Calvary for us. I want to see the difference between sin and salvation. The first plague on Pharaoh's place, and it affected all the people. Strike the water. Turn to blood. Fish died. Water stinks. Do you realize that water is your main supply to life? Do you know one of the greatest ways to win a war is to cut off the enemy's water supply? Get them where they cannot have clean water. Get them where they cannot drink, where they cannot bathe, and all the pestilence and diseases will begin to form, and they will self-destruct on their own because the water is polluted. If it was not for God, Pharaoh and all his people would have died because the water killed the fish, made everything stink, and they had nothing to drink. But they had to go back and say, call on your God, and let's see that this thing be resolved so that we can have something to drink again. Pharaoh called his own musicians, and they somehow faked the process, trying to make Pharaoh think that this was not God. Anybody can work this kind of power, but no, don't you ever try to get in a showdown with God. God's going to win every time, and you're going to be the one on the bottom rung and rung out to dry, because God is a winner. God is a winner. God is a winner. He will not put himself in any other category. He's always a winner. He's always been a winner. He's always going to be a winner. There's not even a challenge that can come before him. He doesn't even let an opponent step into the same ring with him. He kicks the enemy out of heaven. He said, I don't even find room for you in my house anymore. Get out and get away from me. You have made a bad decision when you decided to overthrow and bring war into the heavens, and you're out now, devil. God's a winner. Those that will heed the word of God are going to win. Those that heed. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that listens. I'm not talking about somebody that shows up every now and then. I'm not talking about somebody that just goes through the motions. But when you heed the word of God, you're going to win. When you heed the word of God that says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, you're going to win. When you listen and pay attention and receive it, you're going to win. God wants us to be winners. Isn't it great to know that God doesn't make any losers? Hallelujah. I played enough sports growing up, Little League baseball, YMCA basketball. It didn't matter what sport I played, I was always on a losing team. It didn't matter. Our coaches felt so bad for us, they took us out for ice cream after we lost. That's okay. I learned what winning team I belong to. Hallelujah. That'll mess with you as a kid when every game you play, you lose. The only way we won is when the other team forfeited. And we celebrated. We won! Write that one down, coach. We got to win. I wrestled as a freshman in high school. I lasted for about 2 rounds and ran out of breath and just flopped over and said, go ahead and pin me. Tired. Well, at least you're laughing. Hope you're laughing with me, not at me. If you're laughing at me, I'm going to come and find out what you did in school. I'm going to find out what athletes are here. Oh, Lord Jesus, you got to put me back on track now. He's a winner. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, you know what? I'm a winner in Christ. You really are. Isn't that a good message? Isn't that a good message to know that you're a winner tonight? You're on the right team. God loves you. So we're talking about the greatest message ever told is salvation. The worst thing we can ever be involved in is sin, the nature. It was in John chapter 2. Now remember, in Pharaoh's case, the first thing that God did was he smote the water. The water turned to blood. The fish died. The water stank. That's sin. But in John chapter 2, the first miracle that was recorded that Jesus did was he turned the water into wine. And he did it at a celebration. So he shows you in the water turning to wine a party, a celebration, a victory. It's symbolic of salvation. You can either go and live in the place where Pharaoh was and see the water smote and see the old bloody water and see the old smelly water and see all the dead fish floating and all of that. Or you can go on over where Jesus began his ministry in miracles and the water turned to wine. And how many know that the wine that Jesus gives us is wine that we can drink, wine that we can handle, wine that will make us happy, wine that won't make us drunk, wine that will give us something to shout about and rejoice about? It's called the Holy Ghost. It's called the blessing of God. It's the river of life that flows up on the inside of us and says, you know what? The world can keep their alcohol. The world can keep their beer. The world can have, you know what happened this weekend? It made me sick. They were having a beer fest right in this town. Shame on them. Promoting all this drinking in the streets when it's killing people, destroying lives. They need to heed the message. The greatest message ever told is you can get drunk in the Lord and it won't give you a hangover. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Right. I've never woke up feeling bad after a Holy Ghost service. Amen. I've seen and I've probably hit my head on pews. I've went down lickety split. But I never felt bad. You know what I'm talking about. When it's real power of God, you don't have to be afraid of it. The first thing that he did in Pharaoh's land was he turned that water to blood. Blood is symbolic of a warning. Don't you understand that when there's death around, there's got to be an alarm that goes off and says there's danger, something's wrong. When people's lives are taken in war, we need to take heed to what we're fighting. You got to not just be a soldier that signed up for a paycheck, but you got to be a soldier that's heeding the commands and listening how to win the victory so we can get home. See, we can't just be God's children and say, you know what, I don't have to do anything in God's army, because God does have an army that's moving. And there's people around you and there's people around me that need to hear this message. And so when we heed this message, what happens when we allow our ears not to get dull and tired of the message of Jesus? It will perk us back up in our spirit and we will find a way to tell somebody else, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus can help you in your burdens. Jesus can help you in your problems. Get this word in you. When we start to heed his word again, the pattern that was going on in Pharaoh's situation was warnings. I'm trying to show you that even though sin has been around, God's mercy has been around. At the first place of Adam and Eve sinning, the word of God said to man then, when you partake of this, you will surely die. But did they die instantaneously? No. Did they suffer loss? Yes. Did they have to be removed? Yes. Did they go through some things? Yes. How about their own children and what sin did to their house? How about their own lives, what it did to them when they began to realize they were naked and they were embarrassed and they were ashamed and they could no longer heed the voice of God walking with them in the cool of the day? day and in the nighttime hours, how much is it in us to heed the word of God so that we don't have to be ashamed when his presence shows up? God has an abundance of grace. He is long-suffering towards his children. But there will be a time, just like in Pharaoh's life, there will be a day when sin is made up for, and the just will be just, and the unjust will be condemned and be written off and blotted out of the word and never remembered again. And we've got to heed the warnings of the message of Jesus Christ. Pay attention. Hear what he says. I read somewhere, and I could be challenged on this because I won't say that I know 100%, but the next thing that God did in Pharaoh's situation, because he didn't let the people go, the next thing was frogs. And back in the day of their lifestyle, frogs were a symbol of wealth and happiness and good things. And so God went from warning them to mocking them. But God is a God that the Bible says cannot be mocked. But he went and did it for him. He said, listen, if you're not going to take my warning about things will die in the place of sin, I'll show you just how good and prosperous you are. And I'm going to overload your territory with frogs. And you're going to have frogs coming in your bed. You're going to have frogs in your refrigerator. You're going to have frogs in the oven. You're going to have frogs, and more frogs. I think they got sick of frogs. Maybe if somebody would have been smart, they would have caught them all and started a business and started serving frog legs. But you see, God is showing us that he's not going to be the first to strike you dead, but he's going to warn you about sin. He's going to mock your life and show you how miserable it is in the things that you're doing. It's not pleasant when you sleep with frogs. It's not pleasant when the thing that you think is making you healthy and wealthy turns to be an ugly thing in your life. After the frogs, there was lice. Itch. You know what the Bible says when the last days are coming around? People have itching ears. Scratch. They just want a tingle and a twitch. They want to listen to what they want to listen to. They're not heeding the word of God. And God says, when you're not listening to me, you're going to itch. You're going to be burdened with something that's going to make you scratch, and it's not going to be a pleasant thing. They were overran by lice. The dust was smitten. Lice began to populate. Flies. I'm telling you, flies got to be of the devil, if there ever was anything of the devil. Try to take a nap and be in your house, and there'd be one silly old fly, and he's going to find your nose. And you'll swat that thing, and you'll doze a little bit, and he'll come right back and find your nose again. Flies. Pestilence. Pests. See, the sin things that you're messing with, they become pests in your life. Listen, sin is not something that's always going to be good for you. It's never good for you. It starts out with an advertisement saying, try me out. Go this way, go that way, enjoy for a season. The Bible says that there's only a short-lived season of fun in sin, and it turns every time it turns. And it becomes like the flies in your home, and it becomes a pest and a pestilence like lice in your home and in your life. Something you want to get rid of. Something you want to kill off, but every time you go to swat that fly, it moves. It had to be an anointed man or woman of God to invent the fly swatter. I just know that. It just had to be. It had to be while someone was praying and fasting. probably woken up from a Sunday afternoon nap, chasing a fly, and said, "Lord Jesus, help me. I'm really going places tonight." Sin's going to catch you in the end. Warnings. But I want you to keep that picture of salvation. He reminded the children of Israel, "I bore you on eagle's wings. I rescued you out of the mud. I rescued you out of the pit. I rescued you when you were in the pest and the pestilence season. I rescued you when things were dying and decaying all around you. And I brought you to myself." That's the picture of salvation. When you don't want to listen to salvation, you're saying, "Jesus, just fold your arms up and I don't need no more hugs from you. Jesus, just don't even look at me. I don't want to see the eyes of mercy and grace today." But you need to hear this message of salvation, for your life depends on it. My life depends on it. I don't want to live in flies and lies and in the bloody water that's been smitten by the man of God that said it's dead fish and stinking water. I want to live in the new wine. I want to live in the arms of Jesus. I want to be sheltered in the grace and mercy of God. Warnings and pest and pestilence. "Well, I'm not ready to get out of my sin yet. I'm not ready to give it up. I'm not ready to come to the altar and pray forgiveness. I'm not ready to let the church pray with me and help me break free of my addictions. I'm not ready to do all these things." You're going deeper and deeper. Everything that happened in Pharaoh's life and in his people's lives was showing that sin, the longer you hold on, the longer and deeper things get and the more messed up your life gets. And here they had boils. Outward pain. If you live with your sin long enough, it's going to cause you severe pain. I'm talking about things that's going to hurt. Sin is going to hurt. It's going to show up like boils on your body. It's going to show you that there's the mark of sin. How many can testify? You don't have to raise your hand, but you have seen the effects of people living in sin and it shows up on their body. I'm telling you, when you see somebody that's been smoking all their life, it begins to show up on their face. I'm telling you, when you see an alcoholic drink all 20, 30 years and longer, you can begin to see it when it eats up the liver and destroys the kidneys. You can begin to see the sin of a person that only wants to curse and be angry all the time. You can see it on their face. You can see the aging process of somebody's life just begin to die out on them, and they begin to walk around like dead people because sin is holding them back. Let me give you some beauty tips. Heed the word of the Lord. Your body will get healthy, more healthy. You can fight disease. You can fight sickness with the Word of God. But I'm telling you that sometimes it's going to be a fight. Sometimes the headache's going to want to hold on. Sometimes the heart attack's going to want to show up. Sometimes the cancer cells are going to want to try to regrow. Sometimes the heart is not going to want to beat right. But you got to talk the Word of God back to those situations and say, "God has given me a heart that beats to Him. And if He wants my heart to beat right, it'll beat right." I'm telling you that God can heal you tonight by heeding His Word. I'm telling you that God can deliver you tonight by heeding His Word. Hallelujah. 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 Remember when I started out the message and saying we can't get tired of hearing this great word? You can't get tired of remembering the healing that God gave you. You can't get tired of telling it over again. "I remember when God delivered me. I remember when God set me free. I remember when God was with me and spared my life in a car wreck. I remember when God this and God that." We got to remember these things and heed them over and over again, because when we don't remember them, we fade away from God and we move away from His Word and we start to go down. They moved on from boils. Livestock started dying, getting infected. They started coming up short. Not enough food on the table anymore. This is the place where people get mad at God. They're sinning. They're not heeding the voice of God, but now they're angry. Things are starting to be taken away from them. They got to know John 10:10 that says a thief comes. The thief comes to kill, steal, destroy. Ask yourself, it's real quick, it's real easy. Just draw a line down a piece of paper and say, if Jesus came to give me life and life more abundantly, over here, these are these things. Over here is what the devil's doing. And who's doing what? And if you're going to live for the devil, things are going to get taken. If you're going to stay in sin, you're going to lose. And sometimes the enemy snatches over and takes things out of the saints of God's hand. And God says, go back into the enemy's camp and take back what's yours. When the enemy's found, he's got to pay back sevenfold what he's ever taken. And I think it's time that we begin to collect the sevenfold. Every soul that's been taken out of the church, begin to say sevenfold on the benches and in the balcony. Sevenfold in the Sunday school class. Sevenfold in the offering, Lord Jesus. Sevenfold in the ministries that are here in the church. Remember my children, that I did bring the children of Israel out on a mighty wing like the eagle. I bore them unto myself and I brought them to me. I am asking you to heed my word. I'm asking you to be ready for me to carry you up on wings like eagles, and I'm bringing you back into my midst. I'm bringing you back into my throne room. I'm bringing you back into the belongings that I want to give you. I'm bringing you back into the places. I'm your Heavenly Father. My heart has never stopped longing for you. Never, never, never stopped longing for you. But I need my children to hear my words. I need my children to pay attention and listen and heed me in the day, the hour that we're living. I'll prove myself to you. I'm your Lord. I'm your Savior. Just worship Him. Take time to worship Him. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Go ahead and put on some music. We don't have to preach anything else. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to just begin to pray.